Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the High Hopes Podcast. High Hopes. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Philadelphia Phillies on radio.com and sports radio 94 WIP.
Yo, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast. Four games to talk to you about as we go the extra day, Jack Fritz. We decided to wait till the end of Labor Day to record rather than after the Mets here. I think it was a good decision.
Yeah, we had to wait for one more win.
Yeah, because, you know, Mets series, not great. Not great.
Yeah, but Sunday was great.
Sure, it was super awesome. Look, all right, 26 games left to play, 2.5 behind the Cubs as of this moment recording this Monday night.
So, feeling good.
Let's start there, and then we'll get into specifics. How you feeling?
I legitimately feel good. I don't know. Okay, recording. You can't make me record after a win with when Harper and Hoskins homer twice. Like you can't make me record after that. Like that's unfair to the listeners because I'm talking myself back into a run. I think they played good baseball last month. They had the minor hiccup with the Mets series, but overall they've been playing good baseball. And I don't know, man. Their pitching staff sucks, and it makes me angry that they did nothing at the deadline to address it. It makes me mad that Mike Morin is their setup man. But I don't know, man. Maybe if the offense can carry them, there could be something here. And then everyone starts believing in each other. It'd be a whole kumbaya thing going on. I don't know, man. I don't know. I feel empty without the Phillies when they're not on, and I just really don't want the season to end.
Oh, buddy. Poor Jack. Oh, man. Well, so forced optimism is a good way we can put it for you.
Well, here's the thing. Here's where I'm at. I think the offense is good enough. I think the offense has been much better since Charlie has taken over. I think the offense is good. It's a night in, night out. I feel good about where the offense is. I think Corey Dickerson has always been massive, and him at the top of the lineup definitely helps. You physically cannot buy into this team going on a run because of how bad the pitching staff is. And that's just, I think that's just where we have to be at. Like, everyone would love this team to go on a run, and everyone believes in a run and whatnot, but the pitching staff is just that bad that you can't realistically see it happening.
Yeah, they have 26 games left, and they haven't gone on a run. Why would anyone believe they're actually going to go on a run? I think it could be that simple. Like, there's 26 games left in the season, Jack, and there has not been a run. There have been so many times where we have said, oh, here's the run. The run's coming. This is the run. Please be the run. Can this maybe be the run? Could it possibly be the run? It's never the run. It's not going to be the run. How long have we been saying, well, the offense can carry them to the playoffs? It just, I don't know. 2.5 with 26 to play feels like 12 with 26 to play. I mean, I know they're in it, but their schedule's so tough. The Cubs' schedule isn't nearly as tough. The Cubs are playing better baseball on the whole right now. I just don't have a lot of optimism.
The Cubs just had a 25-inning scoreless streak.
Sure, but I mean, let's be real. The Cubs also swept a four-game series against the Mets right before the Mets came to town and took 2 of 3 versus the Phillies. I don't know. Look, there were some signs for optimism this weekend, but it's still like, again, how many times have we talked about that Friday night game, this against the Mets team coming in? You know, you're coming in 3 games back for the first time, maybe all season, certainly a long time since they've been 3 full games back of the wild card. And they come in and they fight when Nola's in there. Nola fights, and then it falls apart. It's like yet another big game, another big series opener where they don't show up and they, you know, just let it fall flat at home yet again, and then they lose the next night. And I know they've won the last two. It was nice, like you said. We're going to get into Rees because I think Rees, if you're looking for a real sign of real true optimism for this Phillies team right now, I think Rees Hoskins could be the shining beacon of hope. But it just personally, I struggle to feel excited. We both said going into this Mets series, if they don't take 2 or 3, it's over. We're not going to believe in them. And they didn't take 2 or 3. I don't know. They constantly disappoint, Jack. They constantly disappoint. And I don't see why they're going to go on a run. I just don't.
Listen, you just said it a little bit ago. You said, we are expecting a run this time. We're expecting a run that time. We're waiting for this run. Listen, the run just hasn't happened yet. They're waiting for the right time, and right now is the right time.
Better be. It's the only time left.
Yeah, yeah. No, and I don't want to. I don't know. It's very. I just, you know me. I think the
I
high.
Do
hope,
know you. I think the they high, do too. Yes.
I want to run. I need a run. I want to run so bad. Do I realistically think it's going to happen? No, because I think the Cubs, like, I think they're just a better baseball team. And they have an easier schedule to begin the month, but I think they finish with the Cardinals.
They have 7 of their last 10 against the Cardinals, so you know, that could be interesting.
That could be interesting, but the thing is, like, when you look at the Phillies schedule, they have one easy team, and that easy team is a team the Phillies can't beat in the entire
month. Marlins. Of course it's the Marlins.
Yeah, but James, they have a way better record against teams that are better than them. So if they keep that up, it could actually be their best month of the season.
Look at you.
It is. That's a fact.
You're the king of spin. It is great.
They literally have a better record against teams that are better than them. Teams
it's
that
true.
Are over 500.
I think it's
they're
10, true.
I think they're 10 games above 500 against teams that have a 500 record or more. 500 record or better.
Wouldn't that be something? That honestly, to a counterpoint to my argument, it would be just like this team to do what they've done all season and continually disappoint when we expect them to, and then to beat up on good teams to get in the playoffs at the end of the season. That would feel very on brand for this team. But you said it before, it's such a struggle to believe in this pitching staff. Again, like Mike Morin, and it finally seemingly for the first time blew up in a game this weekend against them. But like Mike Morin is your go-to high leverage guy?
Yep.
Really?
Klimczak.
Really, Jack? Jack, here is a statement that I feel very confident in making, but I also feel like an idiot because I can't believe it's actually true. Jose Alvarez is the best reliever on the Phillies. How about that, Jack? How about that? Think about that. Think about that statement. How absurd is that? How absurd is that to think that Jose Alvarez, if you have to get one out from a guy in that bullpen, Jose Alvarez is probably the guy you want taking the ball. How do you reconcile that? Like, how can they? And again, look, I'm with you in the sense that way crazier things have happened. They're 2.5 back with 26 to play against a Cubs team that is certainly better than them, but is far from a great team. And, you know, ever since we saw the Mets drop 7 with 17 to play, anything's possible. But I just find it so hard to believe that they're going to go on a run. And we can all agree, other than Joe DiCamera, who does not agree with this, but we can all agree that they're getting boat raced by the Dodgers if they somehow find a way to beat the Nationals, if they somehow find a way to get into that wild card game. They have literally an actual 0% chance to beat the Dodgers, a 0.01% chance, whatever you want to say. They're not doing it. But paint the picture for me, Jack. Let's lean into your optimism. What has to happen over the last 26 games? Forgetting the Cubs, we all know that they have to win 3 more games than the Cubs lose. You know, they have to play 3 games better than the Cubs. But in terms of what you need to see from this Phillies team, forgetting what the Cubs have to do to help out, what is this Phillies team? What will it look like if the next 26 games end up in them in a wild card game?
Well, I mean, it starts with Rees and Bryce. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And today was a really good start. I mean, Rees has been pretty good since Gabe moved him through the four hole. I don't know, sometime last week. Like, Rees has been okay. He wasn't driving the ball out of the ballpark, but I thought his swing was getting leveled out. And now you're kind of seeing the benefits of that. Like, the home runs today were classic Rees Hoskins, like home runs. So I mean, obviously it's gonna start with the offense, and it comes down to Dickerson, Realmuto, Harper, Hoskins. Those are the four. Kingery's been really good recently. Like the offense, I feel like is finally clicking. So as long as those guys keep it up, it's good. They need Nola never to lose again, and they need Nola to get through a seventh inning. Like there was a nice little stretch in the middle of the summer where he's getting through the seventh inning, but now he's back to kind of getting to the seventh inning and falling apart. Like in the Friday night Mets game when I think they're up one at the point, and he left Nola in to hit. And he didn't get a hit, and it didn't get executed or whatnot, or the Phillies became the Phillies again. Like, Nola went back out there, and I was like, "There's like, watching this team all season, we know they're going to blow up here. Like, there's no way they're going to keep this." So it comes down to that. It comes down to someone in that bullpen stepping up. Like, Mike Morin's been good for the last month. It's really helped that he's kind of stepped up. Now he looks like, you know, Mike Morin. Hector Neris has to be unbelievable. He has to just be locked down at the end of games. They need someone else to step up. Jose Alvarez is good. Maybe they get Sir Anthony Dominguez back. I don't think they're going to get him back, but if they can get him back, that would really help. It comes down to Hughes and Morin, one of those two being a go-to guy for Gabe Kapler, because those guys seem like guys will take the ball every single day, and you're going to have to ride those guys if you want a playoff run. So I think the offense is fine. The offense is good. It just comes down to that someone else in that pitching staff stepping up. Vargas' Saturday start is pretty terrifying, because if he's not their number two, then you don't really know what you're getting out of Eflin, who looks like he's back to being at least a serviceable pitcher. Drew Smyly, you still have no idea what you're getting from him. At least with Jason Vargas, he felt pretty good about six innings, three runs or less. But him getting blown up on Saturday is not a good start for that. So a lot needs to go right. But honestly, if they just – here's kind of where I'm at, is if the offense just – plays well heading down the stretch, and they play good, solid baseball, and there's something to build on. And we can kind of look at this last 2 months being like, yeah, the bullpen was a disaster, the starting staff was a disaster, but the offense, like the talent that those guys have, actually starts to show itself. I almost consider that a win at this point.
Yeah, well, it's sad that we have to do that, but yes, I agree with you. Look, any reason for optimism for 2020 will be nice, but. I'm with you. Look, we've said it's a broken record, but if they're going to get there, it's because the offense carries them there, and the offense has started to play well enough. I mean, Corey Dickerson, what an addition. we talked about it on the, you know, before the trade deadline. I said I wanted Corey Dickerson. You were all about it. You loved the idea, but I don't think anyone expected Corey Dickerson to come in here and be this good. He's just been a really good player for this. He's just a professional hitter. He's such a good hitter, man. Like, he just takes the ball where it wants to go. It's fun to watch him.
Well, he's a guy that will consistently barrel up the baseball, which I think is – like, that's what I kind of thought they were going to get from Kingery when Kingery went up to the leadoff spot. I want a guy at the leadoff spot in 2019 that is going to be aggressive and square up baseballs and not always be looking for a walk. If you can do both and be like Mookie Betts, sure, that's great. But I would prefer a guy who is going up there and looking to be aggressive and can put hard contacts on the baseball. And that's what Corey Dickerson does right now. I would love to re-sign him. And I don't know if they will. I don't know if they can.
Yeah, you need the DH, Jack.
No.
Need the DH.
Absolutely
but,
not.
Yeah, absolutely look, I don't know where you play him. I love the idea of it. Again, everyone's going to want him back. All he's done is rake since he's been here. He's been there, other than Bryce Harper, in the time since Corey Dickerson has been here, if you said you have one at bat to win a series, to win a game, whatever, Corey Dickerson's the guy. Like, other than Bryce Harper, that's the guy. That's the guy.
He's the second fastest Philly to 25 RBIs.
Yeah, I saw it after Hoskins. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, it's crazy.
24 games to get 25 RBI. He's been awesome.
Like, what do you do? Like, can you re-sign him, stick McCutcheon in left field, and Dickerson plays center field? Do they try to flip McCutcheon this offseason?
Look, I think Corey Dickerson, he is an undervalued asset throwing baseball. He is not someone who makes a ton of money. I think you sign him and you figure it out. Like, he does. Even if you can find ways to fit people in and out every day, I think Corey Dickerson's an asset that is worth having. And the price that he will get this offseason will be a bargain for whoever signs him, whether it's Phillies or someone else. So I think you sign him and you figure it out. I don't know if either of those guys, maybe you can switch, give them both some center field work. But I think the idea of relying on Andrew McCutcheon coming off a torn ACL to play any meaningful amount of center field is probably wishful thinking. And
yep.
Dickerson isn't necessarily a everyday center fielder for all intents and purposes. He has not played much at all in his career. But look, this is also a team that cared so little about defense last year. They were willing to put Rhys Hoskins in left field. So who knows? Who knows what they're willing to do from a giving up defense for offense perspective? But look, I think Dickerson is a really interesting discussion point because, as I said, I mean, after Bryce Harper, he's the guy I went up in a big spot for this team, of the whole team, of everyone on the team, which is crazy talk. He's been awesome. But back to the point you're making, I do think that, and again, it's baseball, anything can happen. I just don't see how this staff and this bullpen gets them there. The offense just is going to have to carry them every night. And we've seen that the offense takes nights off. I'm not saying like they don't try. I'm saying like they just, again, they have nights where they don't show up. That first game against the Mets, a perfect example where, yes, they ended up with 5 runs, but those last few were meaningless. But that was a 1-1 game. They didn't give Nola anything there. And Jose Alvarez came in, gets those big outs. Gabe did not go back to him that next inning, something we've seen Gabe be better at this year after last year. We talked a lot about that. I don't know how you can feel great about this team making a run of any kind with the staff and the bullpen the way they are. One guy I want to talk about, though, because and you mentioned him quickly when talking about the starting staff, but we do have 2 good Zach Eflin starts in a row, or at least 2 yep. solid Zach Eflin starts in a row. What have you been seeing from him? Is this something that – look, he was really good for the first couple months of the season. It's hard to remember because he was so bad for so long there. But is this something that's potentially sustainable over the last 26?
Maybe.
endorsement.
The reason that I don't want to buy in completely is because like what he's relying upon right now is sinkers down. And there's a reason why sinker ballers are pretty much been phased out of baseball. Like look at Jared Hughes now. Like Jared Hughes last season was unbelievable. Jared Hughes this season has just not been that good because teams have adjusted to sinker ballers down, and because balls down in the zone are easy to lift and take it out of the ballpark. So it's good that he's going back to what he feels comfortable with, but I just don't know how it could really be super sustainable unless the game kind of changes a little bit, which would be nice because I've long loved sinker ballers. Like Derek Lowe is one of my faves.
You bring up Derek Lowe way too often.
I know. Big fan of Derek Lowe.
I know. I was a big Brandon Webb fan back in the day.
Ah, dude. Brandon Webb was disgusting for
he really
3
was.
Years.
He won the Cy Young. I mean, he was a really great pitcher for a few years there.
Back when it was Brandon Webb and Dan Heron.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable 1-2 punch. But the sinker baller down, like at 95 is good, whatever, that's awesome. And what he's doing right now basically is 95 down, and he's coupling that with an 86 mile an hour changeup, throwing out of the same exact arm slot. And it's the best I've ever seen Eflin's changeup. I never thought it was a very good pitch for most of his career, but I think when you couple it with 95 and then you go from 95 to 86 with the same kind of arm slot, same kind of ball out of hand, it's very, very tough to pick up. So it's a good plan. And it's going to come down to ultimately what it always comes down to with Zach Eflin is that he doesn't have a good enough breaking ball to kind of sustain long-term success. Like, I don't think you can get away in 2019 with a 95 mile an hour sinker and that's pretty much it, coupled with a changeup. Like, that's not – like that's the Arrieta plan, or that was the Arrieta plan before the bone spurs. So I think it can be fine, and I think once teams adjust, they'll eventually figure it out. But I hope he can help, but I'm not buying long-term stock into what Zach Eflin's doing.
Yeah, I feel the same way, but it's nice to see him go out and not be horrendous. I had almost forgotten what that was like, you know? It had been so consistent for so long. All right, anything else from the Mets series? We'll get to the more fun game to talk about, the Reds game today in a minute. But anything else from the Mets series that stuck out to you? Any notes or anything? Right now they're 2.5 games behind the Cubs. They started the weekend 2.5 games behind the Cubs. It really almost feels like it doesn't matter what happens night to night. They're going to hover around there. But I was personally disappointed with the Mets series. It was just, again, it's just another series where you felt like they had to win the series, and clearly they didn't get, granted, they could have been a game and a half back if they had, but
yeah.
But they hover no matter what, but it really felt like a disappointing series to lose.
Yeah, no, it did. And Sunday it was a really fun game, an exhilarating game. But, like, I was there Saturday, and just, like, seeing the amount of Mets fans there was so frustrating.
Oh, you could, and on TV, you could hear it on TV. It's really, it's a real kick in the junk.
Yeah, and it's also been a tough couple of weeks for the Todd Frazier's the same player as Michael Franco takes. But I mean, like, Todd Frazier's not very good, but it's pretty clear he's better than Michael Franco. And that's
well, you could say that about most people.
Right. I just can't believe that people still are. I don't get the Michael Franco. Like,
I don't either. It's crazy to me.
It's mind boggling. So
did you know they sent him down on his birthday, Jack? You might not have known that.
They did do that.
Yes. They're so evil and mean.
Also, I would give up a lot to get Seth Lugo on this team. I love Seth Lugo. Sethy spin rates. He's just disgusting. Like, I don't know how you, like, what he did in the eighth and ninth inning is like, oh, this game's over. He should be so much better than he actually is. Like, he's not that good. Like, the stats aren't that good. But when you watch him, it's like, this guy should be unhittable. It's like 95 with, like, legit run to it. So, I don't know. Saturday was frustrating. It was just one of those Phils games where it's like, oh, you know, they're not going to get the big hit when they need it. Like, it's crazy when you watch them for this entire season, it's like when Gabe Kapler makes a move that makes sense on paper, it automatically backfires.
Yeah.
And they never get the big hit. That's what made Sunday so shocking. The Sunday night game was like Kingery getting that double.
Oh, when Neris gave up the run, and granted, you know, he wasn't all his fault, but did throw the ball away. But when he gave up that run, it was just like, yep, of course he did. This feels right. And then they get it right back, or plus some, obviously. It was unexpected. It definitely felt like they were not going to come back there.
Yeah, watching this Phillies team this year has just been like constant, like, I'm not mad, just disappointed.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And it's just constant disappointment. I mean, constant. We talked last time about, you know, the idea of them just not being that good and us being very critical of a team that, you know, probably deserves a little bit less, you know, criticism and maybe a little bit more support and joy and all that type of stuff. But they just disappoint so much. It's so hard to bring that. It's so hard to think about that way because it's just so many times this year when everyone's been so ready, when everyone's been on board, they just continually kick in the junk. It's their MO.
Yeah, but they've won two straight. And tomorrow they have a chance to go 7 games over 500.
It won't happen. They don't do that.
I don't know, man. I'm feeling good. I think that Reds team is like, bad, like shockingly bad,
really bad.
Like their run differential
Bowers turned into a horrible pitcher as soon as he got there.
The run differential they have is better than the Phillies, but in watching them, it's like, man, that offense today, I'd never heard of like four of their bottom, the bottom of their lineup, four guys in the bottom of their lineup, and then they're rolling Freddy Galvez off the bench. Like, that team looks cooked. Eugenio Suarez is banged up a little bit.
I had definitely never heard of Kevin Farmer. I heard of Kurt Casale. I never heard of Blandino. I was wondering
never
if he was related to Dean Blandino because he looked a bit like him.
He did.
Really, you're right. It was some weird names. Irvin. Never, I have no idea. That
I knew.
Is.
I knew Phil.
Is that
Irvin.
Phil Irvin? Okay. Phil I know Irvin. Aristis Aquino because all that guy does is hit home runs. But
how about that? His swing is like Tim Raines, right?
Yeah. Sure.
That's what I'm thinking of. Kyle Farmer. Never heard of. Oh no, I have heard of him. Blantino, I never heard of. Casale, the catcher, never heard of.
The
Van Meter guy, I had never heard of before.
I knew him only because of fantasy. He had a little run where people were excited about him and picking him up.
Nick Senzel, still the wrong pick. Was their leadoff hitter.
Yeah. By the way, really quickly, can I give a big FU to Justin Verlander for single-handedly beating me in my fantasy playoffs? F you, Justin.
Is that why you?
F you, buddy.
Is that why you're so down on this podcast? Like, are you? Is that why
dude,
you can't look
lost,
at the Phillies in a positive
I lost
light?
5.5, 4.5, and I was the higher seed, so I would have won a tiebreaker if we tied 5-5. And I literally lost because of Justin Verlander. I lost WHIP and strikeouts because of Justin Verlander. So
see what I did was sit back and appreciate greatness.
Yeah. Well, screw that guy. Why don't you stop some more reporters from coming into your clubhouse, you prima donna? How about that? All right. We didn't talk a lot about it. I meant to bring up, we've kind of talked in passing, but Is Reese back? Like, is he back? Back?
Yeah, of course he's back. Come on. he was never gonna be as bad as he was. The question more so is can you win a championship with Reese Hoskins as your four hole hitter? Like as your cleanup hitter. Can Reese Hoskins be that guy? Like, there's two questions for Reese Hoskins. One, how much are they gonna pay him? Because I don't know how much they're going to pay him, but it feels like it's going to be more than they have to. But it's a Scott Boras guy, and he's one of the faces of the team and all that stuff. And number two is, can he win a championship with him being your four-hole hitter? And I'm not sure. I think he can be a really good piece to a lineup, but I think they need another guy. They need one more guy, and I think the guy is Alec Bohm. I eventually think it's going to be him.
Anthony Rendon, right?
Or Anthony Rendon, which I'm shocked at the amount of people that think he's like. I don't think there's any chance he's going to be available. I think the Nationals lock him up.
Yeah, well, they said the same thing about other Nationals players that have not gotten locked up. But I agree. I would be surprised if they let him leave.
I mean
especially
it would be
coming off the season he's coming off of right now.
It would be organizational malpractice.
He's got a 1056 OPS on the season.
He is. I don't know.
Say it. Do it. Say it.
I'd rather have him than Arenado.
Wow. No, you can't say that.
Why? You've never seen Arenado outside of Coors.
He's a better hitter, but Arenado's the best defensive third baseman in baseball. I'm talking all around.
Second best defensive third baseman in baseball.
After Franco. Good call.
After Matt Chapman.
Yeah, Chapman, they're both right there. I don't know.
Dude, they play on the same high school team.
I know. Isn't it crazy? It's
must
so
have been a
crazy.
Vacuum at third base.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. I just think that Rendon, he's going to end up getting like 250 or whatever. I think he's going to get like 220. And Arenado got like 260. I think I'd rather have Rendon. I don't know. Rendon's like a souped-up Bobby Abreu. Like way underrated.
He's an awesome hitter, man. He is in the top five guys I don't want coming up against my pitcher in a big spot guy.
Oh, yeah. He always gets that hit. Maybe because he's always gotten that hit against the Phillies that we think he always gets that hit.
Yes, for sure.
No, I mean, anytime Anthony Rendon's up in a clutch situation.
And the 1056 OPS tells me he gets a lot of those hits.
Oh, he is a backbreaker. Yeah, he's just a backbreaking baseball player, an awesome player. And I would back up. I would back up the Brinks truck or whatever.
Well, Klentak did say they're going to be aggressive, Jack.
He always says that.
I know.
I don't know. Klentak is just
quote unquote. Now I don't know that we have another $330 million contract up our sleeve, but we can certainly have the flexibility to be aggressive and make additions. Thanks, Matt.
No, I'm telling you, man, they are going to go hard after Gerrit Cole. I know that for a fact.
Good, good, good. Yeah. Please. Did you see that?
You sound like you're about to cry.
I am. That's how I feel right now, Jack. You're not the only one who gets emotional about the Phillies. All right, Gerrit Cole. So the Gerrit Cole has the second highest average fastball velocity this season, 97.1 miles per hour. And that's like not even including all the disgusting spin stuff he does. But did you realize that the other three guys at the top of them are all freaking Mets? It's Syndergaard, DeGrom, and Wheeler have three of the four highest average fastball velocities. Mm. And we freaking roll out Cole Irvin to start games. The Phillies just don't care about velocity. They're like, that's not important to us. We want guys who can control where it goes. That's the important stuff.
Yeah, maybe I'll take that back. Maybe they won't be interested in Gerrit Cole because he throws too hard.
He throws way too hard for them. They're not into hard throwing guys.
Yeah, they're like, where can we get another Jason Vargas? I guarantee you, Klentak's like eyeing up Kyle Hendricks in 2 years.
Oh God, that's his like dream pitcher.
Yeah. Oh, he throws soft and throws strikes.
Watch it move. He can control it. He can control all of his pitches and throw them for strikes. It's really exciting. That 88 mile per hour fastball is dynamite. It's got a lot of life.
If we don't have six pitchers on the team next year that throw 95 or harder, I'm gonna throw a revolt.
Me too.
Like. It is going to be 2020, Matt. It is not time to go for soft tossers. Find some dudes who throw hard. Like,
Yes. Like
Nick Vinson is closing out the game today. Another guy.
Dude, I didn't even – and I know he was part of the roster moves, the September 1st moves. First of all, I didn't even know they got Nick Vinson, and I certainly didn't know he was coming up and pitching for my team. So that was
– Yep, 89 to 90.
Sweet. like such a classic Phillies pitcher.
Yeah, I mean, Dan Straley threw eight innings of one run ball for the Iron Pigs the night before. He's another guy who throws low 90s. Bring him up.
Sure. He actually throws a little hard for this team.
Let's not push it.
Hitting 92 is you get a cookie. It's very exciting.
Not great.
Not great, Jack. Today was a fun game, though. Like, today was good. You mentioned the bats get going. What do you think of Smiley today? I mean, we've crapped on that guy a lot, and deservedly so. Was it just the Reds sucking, or did Smiley have a little bit of the first two start magic he had today?
Nah, it was just the Reds. He didn't have the same location we saw when he came up with the Fells. I would say it was just the Reds. But I do think the one thing I think we can take away from the first Reds game, and I think it shows what makes Bryce Harper such a special superstar, is that they get in and they don't get into their hotel until 2 a.m. So they get in at 2 a.m., turns around, they got to be back at the field for a 2 o'clock start, which is 1 o'clock Eastern time. So 1 o'clock basically, 1 o'clock start for them. They get back to the ballpark in, 5 hours. And Bryce in the first inning lines the ball off Votto's glove or whatever, gets into the right field, and he busts to second base and dives head first and kind of, you need that little bit of energy. And when it's your superstar doing that, I just don't know how everyone else in that clubhouse doesn't kind of get the extra jolt. And they played a very good, solid baseball game today. So, I've said it the whole entire season. Like, Philadelphia, like, Bryce Harper needed Philadelphia as much as we needed him. I just think that we have, and I know, like, the fans of the fans or whatever, but I think he genuinely enjoys having a fan base that gets behind him and pushes him to another level. Like, there's been maybe one time this entire season where I've questioned his, like, hustle, and that was at a San Francisco game where it was a ball right back to Bumgarner, and he didn't, like, sprint to first base. He kind of just shut it down. But other than that, like, it's been night in, night out of 110%. If you listen to people in that locker room, they talk about how he's kind of transformed into a leader on this team, and you're seeing it now with his play. And for as much as, you know, this season's been frustrating and I want them to make the playoffs, I'm very excited to see what 2020 Bryce Harper is going to do, because I think we're going to see him get back to being, like, the Bryce Harper that we paid for.
I agree with you. I really do agree with you. I think that, and again, you know, we made a lot of excuses for him. As you know, I'm a big, you know, arguer for the human side of things. And then he just had a lot of crap going on in his life when he came here, and he just had a kid. And I am, I'm very with you. I think next year we're going to get look, he's always going to be a guy who's going to go through slumps. That's who he is as a player. He'll get crazy hot, and then he'll get a little cold, and then he'll get crazy hot again. But I think we're going to see a much, much, much more consistent Bryce Harper.
Well, we mocked him. We mocked him when he reached the 20 home run club, and I don't know when that was, but now he's the 30 home run club like nothing.
Yeah. No, it was easy. It was like no problem. So
he heard us mocking him and said, okay.
That's what we're here for, Jack. Look, I'm hoping. I, two nights ago after the second loss to the Mets, I tweeted, thanks for participating in the 2019 season, Philadelphia Phillies. They haven't lost since I tweeted that. That's all I'm going to say. I'm just going to say that.
I mean, you've been down on the Phils for a couple podcasts now.
Look, I'm trying to do my part here, Jack. All right. I'm trying to help this squad along. Okay. Ever since I tweeted that stat about Bryce Harper being like 68th in home runs or whatever, he's been awesome. I'm just saying, but I'm not saying, you know, I'm just saying.
Impressive work.
All right. What's in the note bag?
I really don't have much.
Good. I will take the note bag opportunity to ask you a quick question. Do you believe JT Romuto's story that it was just bad timing that he was rolling his eyes when Jeremy from the bullpen? What do you think?
I don't know, man, because I view myself as a ball player, and when I see Jared Hughes do that internally in my brain, I'm thinking, what a nerd. And like, it's like the same kind of reaction I get when I see Brandon Nimmo sprint to first base. It's just like there's an internal baseball player, like, what a hardo move that I have. And I can't see a guy like JT Realmuto, who is just like a ball player, not have the same reaction. Like, he's got to be thinking, like, this is so corny. Like, why are you sprinting in from the bullpen looking like an idiot? I mean, I love it. Like, it always makes me laugh every single time.
I crack up every time. Yeah. I crack up every time.
It's like, it's so stupid. I don't think it was bad timing. I think it was like, it was like, come on, man. Really? We do this every time. Like, I do not believe JT Realmuto at all.
Yeah, me too. I mean, bro, just don't comment on it. Just, you know, I guess he had to say what he had to say, but we all know what it is. It was very clear, and it is ridiculous. It's hilarious. I love it. I'm a huge fan of watching Jared Hughes look like an idiot when he runs in. It's just hilarious, but it's ridiculous, and he knows it. And ultimately, like, if you wanted to fight me that it's stupid because why waste energy sprinting in from the bullpen when you're about to have to pitch in a major league game, you could probably sell me on that argument. Like, if you really argue me on that, I'd be like, yeah, you know what? Screw it. It's stupid. Why do it? Conserve your energy. But neither here nor there. JT Realmuto definitely was sighing and making a face at Jared Hughes.
And that guy, and Realmuto is just a winning baseball player, and he knows what is a winning baseball player, what is not. And when he sees that, it's like, nope. That's not it.
Nope. You know who didn't run in from the bullpen? Mariano Rivera. That guy never did that.
He had a nice jog in from the bullpen.
Yeah, a nice leisurely jog. All right, Fritz, final thoughts.
My final thought is that I know you kind of disagree with me on this, but, like, continuing to – like, I was in the stadium on Saturday. And
No. I agree with the continuing point. Like, I'm very with you. At this point, it's just – get over it. Enough.
Just stop booing. Yes. Booing Sean Rodriguez makes us look like morons.
I was fine with it the first time. Like, that first day, fine. But I'm with you. Like, that it's still going on. Enough is enough already. He apologized, whether you believe it or not. Like, he apologized. Get over
it. Also, PSA for the 1,000th time, he made it. Obviously, the entitled comment was stupid. But what he was doing was sticking up for his teammates and sacrificing his own perception in this city because his teammates, who are more popular than him, don't want to say it because they know how the reaction would be. He took a bullet for those guys. I just want people to appreciate that. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. And I agree with you. At this point, it's enough. All right, my final thought. First, rate and review the podcast. It makes Jack super happy. It helps us out, helps people find the podcast, so we would greatly appreciate if you rate and review the pod. My final thought, Jack, I didn't notice it. I've noticed it once before, but I noticed it especially tonight. Gabe Kapler's high fives after a win are the worst, man.
They're great.
It's not great. It looks like a robot who was taught what a high five is and is trying to high. It's like straight down, like, very awkward, straight hand high five. It is so bad, Jack.
No.
It's so bad.
No, he's firing him up. He's firing him up.
Oh, my God. He looks ridiculous. He looks like he doesn't know what a high five is.
I totally disagree. He gets him fired up.
Oh, God. Oh, all right. Well, I think it's so hilarious.
Keep him forever.
Gabe can do nothing wrong. He is perfect in your eyes.
He is. I am flabbergasted by how some people think about the game of baseball, like changing the lineups. Like, dude, like, they don't even change the lineup that much. And also, like, players, I don't know. I have a whole thing on my tweet deck of people's replies to Gabe Kapler, and I scroll through them, and it's just like, what game are you watching? I don't know. It's not, the manager doesn't do that much. Like, I don't know. And the team sucks. Why can't we just admit that the team's not very good? And, like, honestly, do people think that Gabe Kapler's holding back a 95-win baseball team? Like, that's what I feel like people are thinking when they watch this Phillies team. Like, he's not. He's not even doing that much. Just relax. Why are you so angry? Just relax.
He's Fritz. I'm Seltzer. We'll talk to you later.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.